soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
For Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro de Madrid.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Right, let's keep things going here on Soccer Matters. Remember, Advantage BMW in Midtown, that's where you go to seek performance and luxury. Now, when you get there, you'll advantage BMW in Midtown, you'll experience premier service. It's all tailored to you. First thing you do, you find the expert sales team. They'll help you find the perfect new, certified pre-owned or pre-owned vehicle. You will discover something special. It's Advantage BMW in Midtown. Once you get the vehicle, the service center dedicated to putting your time first. At Advantage BMW in Midtown, excellence isn't just offered, it's expected. Get down there, talk to Justin. Talk to Steven, Advantage BMW Midtown. Let's learn a little bit more about the soccer club in La Liga that, by the way, won their first leg of the Copa del Rey today. Osasuna, here's a good friend, Hector Castletort, who used to work here in Houston and now works with Osasuna. Hector, how are you?
I'm doing great, Glenn. Thank you for having me on. Always
you
a pleasure.
Very stylish. I know my listeners can't see, but you got a beautiful Osasuna tracksuit top on. All right, to just take us into the historical nature of today's game, first leg in the Copa del Rey against Athletic Club.
This is, I think, the sixth time that we have made it to this round, that we have made it this far in the Copa del Rey. If I'm not mistaken, the last time that we were in this instance, we made it to the final and we fell to Real Betis back in 2004-2005. So for a club our size, it is just unbelievable. I mean, we are fighting against the three clubs that have won this tournament the most times. And just the nature of that is just unbelievable. I mean, the days leading up to the game, even today itself, just the vibes around the town, it was everything everyone talked about. I mean, the stadium was a sellout. So that's just something that tells you it was below freezing here, and people still showed up and sold this thing out.
Osasuna in the semifinals of the Copa del Rey, by the way, having an excellent season. They are currently eighth in La Liga. I watched 3-2 win at Sevilla this past weekend, which was dropped at its best, as Azuli in the 85th. With a game winner. There was an own goal also from Sevilla, and Garcia had scored in the 18th minute. But your form in La Liga too is pretty exceptional. Take us, Hector, into this the mantra of the club. It's very different. It's Pamplona, Spain. There's a different vibe around the team. It's a little bit more of a family type vibe, right?
Yes. The vibe around the club is that Their mentality is we're gonna keep it as local as we can. So yes, we might bring in players from the outside, but at the end of the day, what we want is to have as many academy products as we can in our team. We will build our team around our academy, and then whatever pieces that we're missing, we'll bring in from the outside. So that gives Osasuna kind of a nature of saying, of people feeling like they are part of the club. And to that, you add that it's only one of the four fan-owned clubs. We don't have an owner. Ticket season members or members are part owners of Osasuna. So that also gives a sense to belonging to everyone who's a part of it. So it's a very unique, very, very interesting way that they look at soccer here. And it's a very, very exciting one as well.
He's Hector Castletort, international communications man for Osasuna in Spain. They're having an outstanding season. I think I have to go right to Jagoba Arasate. 192 games in charge as a manager. He's had 81 wins. Just tell us what type of a leader he is and how important he is as kind of the face and the driver of the ship of Osasuna.
It's funny that you say ship. And I say that because back in the 2020-2021 season, Osasuna was in a 13 winless game streak. And people were, you know, with a reason, they were kind of saying, hey, what's going on? However, our sporting director, Braulio Vasquez, came out and he said, he's the captain of the ship. And his assistant coach is the second in command. And the rest of the coaching staff are, you know, they're also part of the leadership of the boat. And then the rest of us are just the crew. And if the boat sinks, it sinks with its captain on it. And if we made it to shore, if we make it to shore, we all get to shore, including the captain. So that means that there is 100% trust on Jagoba. He has earned it. He took this team and he made it the Segunda División champions on his first season. And then from there, we have had, I don't think we have finished below 11th place since we returned to Primera División. So that says a lot about the idea that he has and how he has been able to like transfer that onto the players, and not only to the players, but also to the fans. He's very devoted in all his press conferences. When we have a home game, he always talks about how the fans are the player number 12, the 12th player. And he's very vocal about the support of the fans, and he's a true leader.
Yes, take us into what type of leader is he? Is he autocratic? Is he a hardline guy? Is he democratic? What type of manager is he? And then take us further into the type of football and what are some of the main demands he wants out of his team from a footballing perspective?
I think from a field standpoint, he wants to have the ball. He always says, I want to have the ball. I want to keep possession. If we have the ball, they want to attack us. If we keep possession, we can attack them. So he likes to have the ball. He also, when needed and when need be, he might have some long plays that the team might do. Our flanks, if you keep an eye on our flanks, we always have players running up and down the field. Chimi Avila, Abde is a bull. And not only do they run up and down the field, they score. You know, like they do it with a purpose. There might be a play where Chimi might be like inside the opponent's box, and next thing you know, they're in a counter and Chimi's already in our box getting ready to defend as well. So it's a very explosive style of play. And it's a very, you have seen it and you can back me up on this. It's a very exciting one. Like, okay, people get excited about it. I watch it. I'm like, this is what football should be.
It is entertaining football. There is no doubt about it. You're going to want to see the second leg. And, you know, the reason we do this interview too, Hector, and obviously your role is to brand Osasuna in America, get people to understand the team, the club, the history, the city. This is a great interview. And I love doing interviews like this because everybody gets drawn to the Real Madrids and Barcelona, who, by the way, are playing tomorrow in a Copa del Rey semifinal. But, you know, a lot of times people bypass some of these smaller clubs with interesting styles of football, tremendous history. I mean, this club goes back to 1920. Your role now is in international communications. Obviously, La Liga wants to brand their clubs in America and continue with the league and make it more, not just about Real Madrid, Barcelona, and Atletico Madrid, right?
Yeah, I mean, in the end of the day, La Liga understands that the product that they have is a very solid product. At the end of the day, we also know that we have a lot that we can offer. And as you said, it's a lot about trying to my role is to brand the club, is to leave a footprint of the club, not only in America, but worldwide. Obviously, with my background and my expertise, America is an obvious choice for me to attack because I know how the market kind of works. And it's The other thing is also is that when you mentioned, you know, everybody knows Real Madrid and Barcelona and those smaller clubs, those stories are not often told. Something that I like is that for Osasuna, we're one of those clubs that when people start watching us, they just start falling in love with us. We just started a campaign for the Copa del Rey semifinals. In Spanish, we called it Grandes en Ilusión. Meaning that, you know, we might be small, but at the same time, we're like, our hopes and our dreams are bigger. In English, we branded to make it a little bit more, make sense to the people watching it or listening about it. We call it big at heart, meaning that we might not have the championships, we might not have the money, but we have a big heart and we're the true underdogs. I mean, I don't know if it's bad that I say that, but I do feel that Osasuna is kind of like a big underdog. And I think that's a lot of, not only Americans, but I think everyone loves a good underdog story.
So that's great stuff there, around Osasuna, and to think of a club that produces its own and then is very, precise in the outside signings they have. The club is built on the basis of their academy. Fascinating, great spirit, and you love these underdog stories. LamontBrands.com. Get your Soccer Matters t-shirt there or the new trucker hat. All the proceeds go to the Snowdrop Foundation, a 501c charity that provides scholarships to cancer patients, awareness and fundraising. And as always, this show is a platform for spreading pediatric cancer awareness. So it's LamontBrands.com. Get the t-shirts there. Get the trucker hat. Wear them proudly. Help us raise money for the 501c charity, the Snowdrop Foundation, which, by the way, don't forget, go to dynamosoccer.com. And that is where you can sign up for the Kick Cancer Clinic headed up by Dynamo Soccer Club, youth club in the Cy-Fair area. They've been doing this for 16, 17 years, led by Olivier Finidori, the former Houston hotshot. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We have more to come.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We roll on here. Dynamo went on the road to Cincinnati this past weekend in their opener. 2-1 loss. Some positives came out of that game. They will take on the New England Revolution this weekend. The upcoming interview here with play-by-play man of New England Revolution, Brad Feldman, is brought to you by Advantage BMW in Midtown. Now, I've told you many times about the X5 I drive, the one I took all the way to New Jersey during the pandemic. Drives like a dream. You go down to Advantage BMW in Midtown, they'll get you in a pre-owned vehicle, a new vehicle, a lease. Go down there, talk to Justin, talk to Stephen Prather. Advantage BMW in Midtown, and they have been longtime supporters of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. That's Advantage BMW in Midtown. Brad, welcome in.
Glenn, good to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Stop the snow up in New England, because I hear we're in for a very interesting MLS match that the Mother Nature might play a little bit of a part in.
Well, it's winter in New England. You know, it's March, but we've had a pretty mild snow winter thus far, but by our standards up here. But when people start publishing season-ending snow totals, I said, that's a jinx. That's a bad sign, because we've got at least 3 or 4 weeks of winter left, at least. And the forecast isn't as bad as it could be, but there is a chance of snow during the game. I think more likely there'll be a wave midday, hopefully give the excellent field crew here in New England a chance to clear the field, and then another blizzard, as they say, afterwards. But you never know. That's a moving target, the weather forecast. So it could be cold and snowy, yes.
I like the weather you're putting on your weatherman hat here. Now, how does that field play on artificial surface? when it is cold? I mean, is it hard? Is it super fast? Tell me.
It's super fast. The big X factor, of course, is the wind. Last year, the Revolution, somewhat infamously now, blew a 2-goal lead at home to Real Salt Lake, who are also a weather-tested side, mainly because the wind was knocking down long goal kicks, you know, 10 yards off of the goalkeeper's foot. The ball was actually on stoppages, you know, moving. So, you know, you had to hold it down. If it's like that, which I don't believe it's going to be, then it's a disaster. But with the slick coating, it moves quick. I don't know if anybody's, they have it on Apple TV right now. Carlos Heel's famous Stop the Blanking Game interview where he complained about the weather conditions.
Yeah, I remember
that. I don't think any real soccer player likes playing in that environment. But like I say, if they have time to clear the field and the wind's not too bad, then it will be playable.
Leave it to a playmaker to bring that out too. That's I love
it's
that.
It's worth watching. It's a great moment in Revolution in MLS TV history.
I love when players speak out. Brad Feldman, he's the play-by-play man. How many years? 23, Brad?
With this club, it's 25 years of MLS TV. Okay. And I did my first game. I was on the sideline. You were in the booth. And so for listeners who don't know, this guy here had a lot to do with my getting traction in the league. You know, some guys, when you break in, you know, give you the stiff arm. But Glenn, you always treated it like a fraternity, and you mentored me, and I'll always appreciate it.
Well, those are kind words, but you've earned and really produced a great career, and you're synonymous with the New England Revolution. You brought up Carlos Heel. Does he continue to be a dominant center midfielder in MLS here?
Well, I think he's going to be. He's still in his prime at 30. And I think that if he's not, if he, 2 years in a row, he's led the league in chance creation, set records. If he falls off from that level, the Revs won't have the season they're hoping for and expecting. Early signs are he's still got it, you know, plays with his head up, always has his engine going, and can both see and make a pass as well or better than anybody in the history of the league. The only guys with better chance creation numbers, I believe, are Valderrama and Echeverry. And so that's pretty elite company. Carlos Heel is a special playmaker, and he also has a baller's heart. Like, he fights out there, even though he doesn't look like a scrapper, he really is.
He's Brad Feldman joining us here on ESPN 97.5. Soccer Matters, always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Okay, a lot of people are going to go right to the DP. Played 64 minutes against Charlotte, Giacomo Vrioni. And, of course, when anybody sees Juventus attached to a player's name, there's expectation. Looking at his career and data, he really was only a big goal scorer in Austria, which hence, I think, produced the signing in New England. I think that's what may have interested the New England brass. He had 19 goals in 28 games in the Austrian Bundesliga for Tirol. Tell us a little bit about him, maybe the chemistry that's developing or you want to develop with Carlos Heel.
Yeah, so in preseason, it looked like things were going great. He had a couple of really eye-opening games against Orlando, where the Revs won 2-1 in Orlando, and he scored and then sort of created an own goal with a dummy where he didn't get a touch on the ball, but it looked like he'd scored. So he really was involved in both goals, and also a great goal against Nashville where he played provider for Dylan Barrero. It's more than just his goal scoring. He was definitely signed to be the replacement. Brad Buxa, who the Revs transferred for a reported $10 million to Lens in France. He's not exactly the same player. It did take Buxa a while to settle, at least goal scoring wise in MLS. Once he did, he was lights out. I think if you look at the video on Giacomo Vrioni, you could say he's a more polished player coming in than Adam Buxa was. Maybe not quite as physical. His movement off the ball, his ability to combine to sort of be the platform in the middle third of the field, lay it off, peel off, make another run. Very intelligent. He's a regular, you know, for the Albania senior men's national team. He's a legit player beyond the sort of the resume build of having 10, 12 appearances for Juventus and, you know, scoring at a better than a goal every other game rate in the Austrian league to lead that league. He looks a very polished player, but he came in, immediately was injured, did not ever get in sync in 2022, then had a lights out preseason these last couple months. And then reverted back to his form from last year in those 64 minutes you referenced this past weekend against Charlotte. I think playing at home, he's going to settle in. I do think he has double-digit goals in him. The Reds need him to be that guy. Listen, Gustavo Bo's going to come back. They do have Bobby Wood and Jozy Altidore and some other forwards on the roster. But the DP investment, as you say, in Vrioni means that he's expected to produce goals. And I don't think it's a matter of health now. I think it's a matter of that sync with Heel and the wing midfielders, and then also just the confidence level. As soon as he gets one or two goals in open play, I think it's going to flow for him because he's a good soccer player.
So let's switch gears a little bit to the Houston Dynamo, and then we'll come back to the Revs again. You know, obviously, I think the lifeblood of the Dynamo is their midfield with Hector Herrera, obviously Artur acquired in the offseason, and Coco Carrasquilla. I think it's a midfield that can compete with pretty much anybody in MLS. Certainly three good guys on the ball as well. What are your thoughts on what you've seen from the Dynamo and maybe that midfield?
Yeah, I think it's going to make for an interesting battle, presuming playing conditions are normal. Those are three guys you referenced who are very comfortable in possession. You know, the gauntlet's certainly been laid down for Herrera to up his leadership. I know that Carrasquilla created some chances in the game against Cincinnati. And, you know, I think that the Revs have to keep pressure on the ball. Like, I don't know tactically what Houston is planning to do, if they're going to have a lot of the ball or they're going to play more on the break. But if they are in possession, I think what the Revs are going to want to do is have Polster and presumably young Noel Buck, who had a great game down in Charlotte. They're going to want to, you know, get up in these guys' shirts. May not overcommit, because those are three guys who can skin you if you dive in. You know that. But the Revs have a high-energy midfield, and they've sort of upped that level. And they also have Latif Blessing, who's, you know, getting back to full fitness. But those three names I just mentioned are guys who can get around the ball, you know, create some havoc, make it harder for a team that wants to play to settle. So I think that's going to be an interesting battle.
How was Noel Buck at 17? He's about to turn 18 soon. How has he accelerated his player development? Give us a little bit of a background on him, because, you know, that's something you hear a lot in Houston, that, you know, the Dynamo, you know, you want to see Brooklyn Reigns getting more minutes and be in a position to play some of these younger guys. How has this kid become a starter on opening day?
Well, part of his injury to Blessing is a minor injury. I think that Buck, in the seven first team games he played last year, showed a lot of confidence and swagger. It may just be youthful naivete. He doesn't know. But, he comes from a town and a family that I don't know personally, but I'm familiar with. We have mutual friends. Father is English. Noel's brother plays at Georgetown, is very, very good college soccer player. Yeah. They came up through the pathway, local clubs and town soccer, and then were identified by the Revolution and the Revs Academy more and more. Like, you see some of these other guys, you know, Damian Rivera and Justin Renix were on the field as homegrowns the other day. But you also have Jack Panayotu from Cambridge, Mass., who is very skillful. Noel Buck has a little bit of swagger, that, you know, confidence and athletic arrogance between the lines that's sort of beyond his years. You know, he can break the lines on the dribble. I know that he's worked on sort of taking that first touch and, like a deep lying midfielder should, in transition, opening up his hips, spraying a ball. He can spray a ball over distance and set things up. And the game winning goal, he was the guy who cut out the clearance and really was, you know, the hockey assist that led to the Kessler goal. So he like, all of a sudden, with the numbers he had the other night and passing the eye test, you know, people are like, oh, this guy's a future national team player, from a guy who nobody knew his name, you know, 10 months ago.
Henry Kessler, by the way, got the game winner late in that game against Charlotte in front of over 68,000 fans. What a win to start the season. All right. So the Houston Dynamo picked up a former Rev that I liked. You and I have talked about Luis Casedo. The Dynamo do need additional help in midfield. I think this is a really, really good signing for the Dynamo. Some thoughts from you, Brad, having watched him a lot in New England.
Yeah, you know, back when my now deceased and much missed broadcast partner, Paul Mariner, and I did the games together, he loved Caicedo because he was a, you know, sort of an energizer bunny type of player, just covered every blade of turf out on the field, put himself about as they say, got stuck in, was fearless. I will say this, on more than one occasion, Paul and I would say, how does he get up from that 50-50? How does he walk away from that challenge? And then, you know, sooner or later, that physical style did catch up with him. And that's why he was out long term with a knee a couple years ago. And then the Revs sort of evolved under Bruce Arena. You know, he had come in under Brad Friedel. But everybody liked Luis personally. He was really committed, had a very positive attitude. He's a tremendous ball winner, but he's not in the same category technically as Carrasquilla, Herrera, you know, Arturo. Like, he's not that kind of guy. He's a number six destroyer type of guy, but a very expansive one.
That's great insight on Luis Casado, the new Houston Dynamo signing from Colombia. All right. Give us an update on Bruce Arena, the old Wiley veteran, the greatest coach in Major League Soccer history. How's Bruce doing these days? And is he still the ornery Bruce we know?
We had a season member welcome event that I emceed, I hosted. And, like, you know, in sort of congratulating me on welcoming me back, told the whole crowd I had a face for radio and was busting my chops. But that's Bruce, you know, he kids because he cares. He still has that sort of, you know, you're from the New York, New Jersey area, Glenn, you know the type, right? He's a Brooklyn, Long Island guy, and he has that sort of sardonic wit. But if his heart wasn't in it, he wouldn't still be doing it. I can't believe now it's a fifth year with Bruce Arena. That's how long this era has lasted. I think he was really frustrated by what happened last season because they thought they were going to build the Revs off of the Supporters' Shield winning campaign the previous season. And then that terrible week where they lost the game in the snow to Salt Lake, went down and blew a 3-0 lead at Pumas in the Champions League, and then had a hangover loss against Expansion Charlotte all in the span of 7 days. They never recovered from that psychologically, in my view. Things leveled off, and there were some good performances in the second half of the season. But, you know, Barrero and Brioni, two of the guys brought in to replace Tejan Buchanan, and as I said, Adam Buxa, they didn't really work out because of the injuries they picked up. So I think this is a chance for him to sort of do a reset and now try to, if you can, recover some of that momentum. You still have Heal and Bo. You still have Kessler. You add Dave Romney. And this goalkeeper they have, we talked about a little bit when I was in Houston in October, Glenn. Jorge Petrovic is the goods. He's the business. He's like Tim Howard in a NFL tight end's body. Like he's not going to be an MLS for that long. I'm telling you, Manchester United reportedly kicking the tires on him. And, you know, now that he's getting games for Serbia, you know, like, everybody's going to see him. He's big time.
Brad, great assessment. By the way, Bruce Arena, MLS's all-time winningest coach. Indeed. It'll be the Dynamo on the road at New England. It is their second consecutive game on the road. They'll take a week off, then they'll have their home opener against Austin FC. The New England Revolution call will be led by the play-by-play man of 25 years, Brad Feldman. Brad, thanks for coming on tonight. We appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
Good man, Glenn. Thank you.
All right. That's Brad Feldman, and that's some good insight into the New England Revolution. You got to love hearing from the people that are in the know with the opposition. It brings up some bullet points that you can look for when you watch or listen to this game. All right, we'll take a break here. Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture. My great friend, Jan Christensen. Get over to Fondren. Get over there and talk to Jan. They've got the Stressless line in there. He is the Great Dane. You hear a lot about him on the show, but he's been supporting this program for many, many years. Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture should be on your bucket list of Modern Contemporary Furniture stores in Houston. So if you like contemporary furniture, that's the place to go. My house has got a lot of it from there. And we appreciate Jan Christensen and Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture. All right, we'll take a break. We have more to come.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, final segment of the night tonight here on ESPN 97.5, as always, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. You get in a problem, you call them. 713-322-HURT. You need the best. They're bilingual. It's John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm. Any type of an accident, car, boat, motorcycle, they have you covered. They are bringing you interviews like the next one. We go to Barcelona, Spain, TV3's Jordi Sunyer. Nobody knows La Liga better. He joins us now. Jordi, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you again for having me on, Glenn.
All right, I'm getting right into it here. Almeria, they had a lot to play for this past weekend against Barcelona to keep themselves out of the relegation zone, but Xavi calls this the worst performance, the 1-0 loss. Is there a crisis at Barcelona right now?
It was the worst performance so far this season. I agree with you, and everyone here would agree with you, because Barcelona didn't have a shot on goal until the 81st minute of the game, which is not normal for Barcelona. It was a totally dreadful performance, and it was strange because, of course, there could be the aftermath of losing to Manchester United in the Europa League and getting eliminated from the Europa League, from European competition. But Real Madrid had drawn the day before to Atletico Madrid in the Madrid derby. So they knew, Barcelona knew, if they won, they would be 10 points adrift at the top of the table. So it was a tremendous opportunity for nearly wrapping the La Liga title. So it's difficult to understand why did they deliver such a poor performance. Crisis, we don't know. The thing is, maybe there has been a little too much euphoria, but once you don't have Pedri, once you have Lewandowski in a poor shape, you see that maybe the depth of the squad, the depth of the roster, is not the depth that the club sold to everybody at the beginning of the season. And that may be one of the problems for Barcelona. Now we are entering the decisive time of the season.
Jordi Sunyer, TV3 in Barcelona. I watched the Almeria game. I couldn't believe how disinterested they were with, as you said, the opportunity to go 10 points clear in La Liga. Can you even explain that? I mean, were they fatigued? Is it the hangover from losing to Manchester United? It really is kind of stunning when you see world-class athletes with that type of an opportunity to maybe secure La Liga, just not be up for the moment.
Well, first of all, we have to say football is not mathematics. So it's likely that a team fighting to avoid relegation
can beat
Barcelona.
Thank God for that. I'm not good in math, by the way. I'm not good in math.
Yeah, I'm not good at maths either. But, you know, there can't be this possibility. And, you know, at the end of the season, teams fighting to avoid relegation get more points than usual. And look at the past match day in La Liga. Almeria won, but Valencia won, and Celta won, and Espanyol won. I mean, all teams fighting to avoid relegation won their games. So when they have this urgency, they usually get more points. But as you probably remember, Almeria lost 6-2 to Girona the previous match day. So you could expect a team that wanted to restore their morale, restore their confidence after getting thrashed by Girona. You could expect that. And that's what makes it difficult to understand what would happen. But looking at it from a tactical or technical perspective, you know, we've always said that Barcelona tried to dominate their game via their midfield. They had Gavi, of course, but they didn't have Pedri. If you don't have Pedri, you lose many aspects or you lose much of your balance in midfield. So if you watch that game, you could realize that Barcelona played a way which is not that usual or that normal for them, is giving the ball to the wingers, cross the ball to the penalty box, trying to find Lewandowski or another player trying to put the ball into the net. That's not normal because it's a very classical and typical style of play for, I mean, let's say lesser teams. So without Pedri, without dominance in midfield, Barcelona really struggling, and that may be a problem for the next games.
And by the way, Thursday, it's Barcelona in the Copa del Rey first leg against Real Madrid. The whole world will be watching this one. And then on Sunday, they got another team fighting relegation in Valencia. This is not going to be an easy game either. We're talking to Jordi Sunyer, TV3. All right, let's switch gears and get into the Real Madrid-Barcelona game. And before I do, though, really quickly here, Ferran Torres, Ansu Fati, at this stage of the year, have they been – is this considered a disappointment, these two?
Yeah, but these are two different cases. Ansu Fati's case, I think, is slightly different because he was recovering from a serious injury. He got injured, if you remember, on a game against Betis like 2 years ago. And I think the opinion here or the feeling here is that he won't be the player that could have been before the injury. He's lost this stamina, this kind of spark he had, this change of speed, this change of rhythm that made him different. He can't still be a good player, but maybe not a player for Barcelona, and he's struggling with physical issues. So and I think that's a totally different case from Ferran Torres, because with Ferran Torres you spend more than 50 million euros for bringing a top class player from Manchester City, and he's been underperforming really, and off the record, he has told his experienced some, I wouldn't say mental issues, but he's been kind of obsessed with this underperformance because he knew he had this responsibility. He had this price tag attached to him. He played a good game against Cadiz 15 days ago, but he was playing against not the regular left back for Cadiz. Normally, the starting left back for Cadiz is the Uruguayan Pacho Espino, and he was booked that day. So he was playing against the reserve one, which is the Paraguayan Arthamendia. And of course, he played a good game, and that sparked again some feelings about, well, finally, Ferran Torres is delivering what's expected from him. But you saw him on the following games against Manchester United, against Almeria, and he's been underperforming again. So that's worrying for Barcelona because, as I was saying before, they need depth in their roster, and they are not getting this. And Ansu Fati and Ferran Torres are not showing they can't be this 12th or 13th or 14th player that the squad may need right now.
Talking to Jordi Sunyer, TV3. It's a big one tomorrow. It'll be Barcelona at Real Madrid, the Bernabeu. A lot of people, the thought is, after doing a lot of reading here and looking at the prior game and what Xavi's been doing with his lineups, is that he goes to the Bernabeu against Real Madrid, a team, by the way, that in six has not lost, smashed Liverpool at Anfield in the Champions League. They are riding high right now. Is the whole idea to go to the Bernabeu just to stay close so that you're positioned in the second leg?
Football is such a fantastic thing because Barcelona is still 7 points adrift at the top of the La Liga table. And you see the morale of both of the teams, and it's totally different because, as you were saying, Real Madrid are on the high after beating Liverpool. They have this aura in European competitions because the first 20 minutes by Liverpool were extraordinary. Then they score that fantastic goal by Vinicius and everything suddenly changes. And it's fantastic. So after Barcelona lost to Almeria, after they rescued a point against Atletico Madrid at the last gasp, and thanks to a reserve team player, young striker Álvaro Rodríguez from the B team, the Real Madrid B team, they have absolutely forget they have forgot that they are 7 points behind at the top of the league table. So that makes them clear favorites for tomorrow. I mean, Real Madrid and Xavi, and some minutes ago in the press conference before the game, has admitted that Real Madrid are clear favorites, not only for tomorrow, for the whole tie. So Barcelona will have to battle against it. Of course, it's easy for Xavi to give this role to Real Madrid, make them favorites, as you don't have that much pressure. But I think looking at the situation of the two teams, Xavi may feel that Real Madrid right now are favorites for winning this tie. It's a KO tie. It's a knockout tie. It's the Copa del Rey, two games. It's not a La Liga. It's not a regularity competition. So yeah, that may be possible. And I agree with him. Real Madrid are clear favorites for tomorrow and the whole time.
Jordi Sunyer, TV3. Do they go to a four-man midfield with Busquets, De Jong, Kessie, and Gavi in this game? Do you expect that?
Yeah, because they change from their typical 4-3-3 formation to this kind of square in midfield, and it proved it was okay for the first game. So I don't think Xavi will revert again to a three-man midfield, because even Real Madrid have been playing under a similar system. You know, they have this joker in Fede Valverde, which can't play in a three-man midfield, but can play as a fourth midfielder in a square similar to the one that Barcelona is using, and also Manchester City was using in the past games under Pep Guardiola. So I don't think for two bad results, Xavi will revert again to a three-man midfield. It's likely he plays again with this system, yeah.
Talk about the status of injury. Obviously, it sounds like Robert Lewandowski is out. Pedri, is he out as well? These are huge losses.
Yeah. Pedri's a huge loss. Lewandowski, there are several analysts here in Barcelona that wouldn't agree with you that Lewandowski is a huge loss, because he's also been, and this is a great point of debate these last weeks here in Barcelona, he has been underperforming clearly after the World Cup. It seems, if you look at the statistics, he's having the same touches that he had previously to the World Cup, or even more touches. So he's participating in games and he's trying to give his best. But he has had in the last games less shots on goal than before the World Cup, less shots. Well directed to goal than before the World Cup. The feeling here is that he prepared during the first half of the season. He prepared for the World Cup. He needed to perform well for Barcelona, for being fit, totally fit for the World Cup, and being obviously the star for the Polish national team. He had this milestone to reach that was scoring for Poland in a World Cup. He reached his milestone, and after the World Cup, it seems there has been a kind of relaxing for him.
Yeah, the social media stuff that he's put out, lots of stuff with his girlfriend or wife in different places. It almost seems like he's not as attentive. And by the way, to your point of the touches, though, a lot of these touches are with his back to goal. They're not in areas where it looks like he's dangerous.
Maybe when he was playing for Bayern Munich before Nagelsmann, because Nagelsmann has a different approach to the game. He was used as your typical number nine, a typical striker. You cross, as we say here, you cross a refrigerator to him, and he puts the refrigerator into the back of the net. So he's your typical number nine, your typical striker. And maybe Barcelona or maybe Xavi doesn't want Lewandowski to play as a, let's say, a static number nine. He would prefer for his style of play more a Benzema than a Lewandowski. But the club needed a player to show to the footballing world that Barcelona were back. You have this market opportunity to sign Lewandowski, even if it was not a cheap signing. It was, of course, it was an expensive signing. You had this opportunity. You sign Lewandowski. You show to the world, hey, we are still capable of buying top-class, world-class players. But tactically, after changing system, you lose one of the support players you have in a 4-3-3 system. Maybe he's not feeling that comfortable. I wouldn't relate this underperformance by Lewandowski in the last games to social media he's having some
well, it looks like he's having a great time. Based on his social media, it looks like he's having a great time.
I think it's only sporting or a tactical issue, and of course it's a challenge for Xavi to change that, to revert that, because Barcelona don't have I think they relied on Ansu Fati to act as a second number nine in case of Lewandowski was underperforming, in case of an injury. And of course, Ansu Fati is not playing that well this season. So, yeah, that's also a problem for Barca. Yeah.
Jordi Sunyer, TV3 in Barcelona. The big one tomorrow, it's Real Madrid at home against Barcelona in the Copa del Rey, first leg of the semifinals. So let's talk a little bit about Real Madrid real quick here before we finish up. I mean, I've been just absolutely in awe of Benzema as of late. Luka Modric just must have drank out of the fountain of youth, is playing football at a level that's just remarkable, I think.
Yeah, he's been called the Benjamin Button of Spanish football, Luka Modric, because the older he gets, the better he plays.
It's unbelievable.
Extraordinary. I remember with another colleague yesterday, I was remembering Andrea Pirlo, these kind of players that are hugely intelligent, and they know when their physical conditions are not the best, because, of course, they are getting older. Luka Modric is now 37. He will turn 38 this year. Are intelligent enough to focus and concentrate on their technical abilities. So you may not have in Luka Modric a physical player, but he's trying to give his best via his technical abilities, and he's doing it very well. So, as always, if you look at Real Madrid, Barcelona is a team obsessed with style. They have to play and they have to win the Barcelona style, the Barcelona DNA. Real Madrid don't have this DNA. They have fantastic players. You may watch a Real Madrid game like the Madrid Derby on Saturday and think they are not playing beautiful football. They did at Anfield, of course, against Liverpool, but the Real Madrid style doesn't exist at all, but they have Benzema, such an intelligent player. They have Luka Modric, fantastic. They have, of course, Vinicius, a controversial player, if you want, because of racism issues, because of his behavior on the pitch, his attitude towards spectators, fans of opponent teams. It's the same problems that Neymar had with Barcelona. Vinicius is experiencing these problems with Real Madrid. But, man, he's a tremendous player, flair, technically gifted, quick. He's extraordinary. So they have these fantastic players. They have fantastic squad. They have, I think, more roster depth than Barcelona. So when the season comes to an end, when the season comes to a close the final matches, the decisive matches are coming, you always have the best of Real Madrid. And that may happen again this season. March 1, they are favorites for winning Barcelona, for defeating Barcelona in the Copa del Rey. Beat, thrashed Liverpool 2-5 in the UEFA Champions League. Hey, there you have them again after having not a dreadful, but not that good first part of the season. There you have them again. It's pure Real Madrid.
He's the one and only Jordi Sunyer. That's how we wrap it up. Jordi, as always, thank you from Barcelona with this great update ahead of Real Madrid hosting Barcelona tomorrow.
Thanks to you again, Glenn. Thanks for having me on your show. Bye-bye.
Yeah, we've been lucky to have Jordi giving us these reports from Spain. It's spectacular stuff. That does it tonight for Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. 713-322-HERT. They're bilingual. For producer Andrew Carlson, Guillermo, I'm Glenn Davis. Until next week, remember, soccer matters.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.